What is up, my brothers and sisters? If there's anyone here who would consider them a sister, I think most people who watch me are dudes, unless you identify as a myriad of different pronouns. I refuse to learn. What's up, guys? What is cracking? Mikey Shack here. You know what? Let's get the intro started before I forget.
Public Yemeni number one.
What is up, y'all? I'm glad you guys can join me. Got two podcasts popping off in 1 week. It's been a while since I've done that. I wasn't planning on doing that. I was planning on pushing this podcast after the Big Pine Comedy Festival, and that's why it's on a Friday. But then last minute, I thought, hey, why not get the general manager of House of Comedy, Heather Williams, on? Because, man, when I was talking to her during the festival, because during a festival like that, you go around, you talk to all kinds of people, you network, you meet other comics, you meet the, you know, the bookers and this, that, and the other thing. And it was great, you know. But I ended up having a lot of, I don't know, I was really enticed talking to Heather because she was just deep, man. I hope you guys enjoyed that podcast that I had with her, because I did. It was just one of those things where I was like, I wish we had more time, you know, because I had to like shoot over to another club for a show that night, like 40 minutes away. And then I had comedian Willie Mack giving me a ride. So he was going to be outside. So, we had to cut it short. And I don't like that. Like, an hour seems like a long time, but ever since I've been doing this podcast, I started to realize that usually a little bit past the hour mark is when I start noticing the conversation hits a flow, you know? And Jason Bacon says she was your best podcast yet. Why, Jason? I want to know, man. What was it that you liked? You know, comment, man. Let me know. You know, what was it about having her on the podcast that you liked? you know, are you into that type of stuff? Are you into listening to more people who are, I guess, either spiritual or good at guiding, you know, how you should live your life? Because, I mean, I like that, you know. I just think that we didn't get into that flow that I really wanted to, because just before I was leaving, we were getting into it, man. Because I remember when I was talking to her at the club, I was just like, yo, this girl, this lady is deep. And when she said, you know, human beings have gone from a state of doing to a state of being. Fuck, dude. It was like so deep. And I remember I woke up the next day, just that thing bouncing around in my head. And I remember when I was talking to Heather, she was very excited to talk to me, because she even told me, she goes, I like talking to people like you because I'm receptive to it. So when she's saying certain things, it would like spark up, you know, something in my mind that I would just ask more questions and want to get down to the bottom of it. But yeah, I really enjoyed having her on the podcast. She was pretty deep, you know, and she had a really good story. You know, I just knew we could have went deeper. But, you know, next time I'm in the area, we'll definitely get her on again. Maybe even get her to pair her up with someone else too, you know. That's another thing that I think I'm going to try to do, is I want to try to get three people on the podcast at a time. That podcast that I had with Trey Stewart and Riri. Is it Riri? No, it's Ri. I like to say Riri because it just seems better. But that one was a good podcast. You guys should definitely listen to that one. The audio was all messed up at the top, but halfway through I fixed the audio. And then the podcast version that's going up, it might be already up now, but the it's going to come up. I'll start right when we get the audio right. And it's still a damn good podcast. That's another one where I would love to get three people I know that kind of disagree. Because that podcast with Trey Stewart and Ree was great. Because Ree is super feminist, almost to a fault. And Trey Stewart is the opposite of that, almost to a fault. And it was just perfect. It was like perfect. Jason says, I like when there is stuff that is relatable and learnable. Yeah, that's another thing. I love learning things, man. Me too, man. You know, and I'm hoping this podcast, you know, will evolve to be that. But I also want it to be fun because the podcast I had with Brandon Bricks was fun, man. And then we came up with that new segment where we lay beats down for 15 seconds and then play the feed online because it's on a 15-second delay. And then when the beat starts coming through, the other person has to rap over it. I think that's pretty cool. Brandon Bricks was fun, man. I always have fun with Brandon Bricks, man. That guy is goofy as fuck. He's just goofy, man. Yeah. So definitely hoping to get some more influential people as we go forward. And I really want to start like figuring out more segments to add to this thing. I really like talking about dating the other time, you know, and I ran into a friend of mine, Patrick Dunn, who is an amazing editor, a reality show editor. We became real good friends working on the show Swamp People. And he was one of the editors that I really enjoyed working with because whenever we would produce these episodes, the producers would work with multiple editors because the show is so editing heavy that you can't have one editor. So basically, you'll pass off one storyline because a lot of stories in movies, you know, they're broken down in A story, B story, C story. And if you start watching movies and you pay attention to that, you'll realize it, right? The main story arc, you'll notice, will probably be the main character, sometimes not always. And that will be the storyline that takes up most of the movie or the TV show you're working on. Then there'll be another story, a B story, like another character is, you know, like if you were watching Animal Kingdom, right? You'd have the matriarch, the mother character, is having a problem dealing with somebody from her past that has shown up all of a sudden. A story. B story, one of her sons realizes that the last job that he did, he fucked up and he's got to try to rectify it so that it doesn't get back to the family. And then C story, the young guy opens up a new bowling alley. And in this episode, we're going to see exactly how he gets the money to do it. So your A story, B story, C story. So typically with editing these reality shows that you have to churn out really quick, you would have multiple editors working on it. So Patrick Dunn is one of my favorite editors to work with. And I remember when I met him, man, he was very, very overweight. And I was always about working out. I was meal prepping. I'd be in the bay eating a chicken salad that I made. And then we would talk. And he got influenced by me in terms of like being healthy. And he took it to another level. Like right now, this guy lost so much weight. He hikes everywhere. He was going through a breakup at the time. He decided he was going to stay single and just focus on himself. And completely different person, man, over the last few years that I've known this guy. And I ran into him again at the gym. And it's great that he's at the gym. You know what I mean? This was a guy, when you saw him, man, he was huge. Redhead, puffy as fuck, man. Freckles and shit. And just a nerd. Straight the fuck up. The coolest guy, man. I love him to death. Now you see him, he's a totally different person, man. He's just, you can see it in his eyes, man. He's got control. He's taking control. You know, he realized the only thing you can control is you, is yourself, your body, your emotions and shit. Ran into him at the gym and he told me that he loved talking about picking up women. Because he said he would learn from me, because I would like just tell him things that I learned from making mistakes or heard from other guys, do's, don't do's. No, you know, I do like talking about dating too. So I think that's definitely something I wouldn't mind. starting to get into this podcast, especially with the whole idea of sleeping with the Yemeni. I would love to get a either a segment on this started, or maybe start a whole new podcast or change the name of this podcast. But either way, speaking of dating, I got lucky this weekend. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got lucky this weekend. I want to know, you guys in the comments, comment back, and I want to know, do you guys know who Patrice O'Neal is? And if you do know who Patrice O'Neal is, are you privy to this dating show that he had on Opie and Anthony called Black Phillip, where he would just give deep, philosophical dude advice? Hood as fuck. But if you really listen to him, man, that guy gets to the point. Patrice O'Neal was a very enlightened, straightforward, abrasive human. So a lot of people had a hard time, like, you know, a lot of people didn't like, there's people that didn't like him, you know, because he was kind of an asshole. And if you watch a documentary, you realize that's one of the reasons why he hasn't, you know, wasn't seen so much on TV. Like, you know, in the documentary, it's sad to see, like, he was just such an asshole to everybody because he saw everything for what it was. So when he was on Hollywood sets, he saw how fake and everything was, and he would just disgust them, and he didn't want to play that game. And then people would be like, well, he's too difficult to work with. Well, the motherfucker could see through shit. And Black Phillip show, if you go online, try to find the archives of the Black Phillip show. I think it's on Spotify now too. If you're a dude, you're single, you want to kind of learn about picking up women or maintaining relationships from the perspective of a guy who was, before he died, living a great sexual life. This guy, he had such a beautiful woman. And she was bisexual, and they would have threesomes together. And if you looked at this big fat motherfucker, you're like, really? But if you see his demeanor and how he looks at life and how he pierces through things, one of my favorite things that Patrice O'Neal said is, do not be afraid to take the L. Do not be afraid to take the L. Meaning, do not be afraid to take a chance that could result in a loss. This is like some of the most deepest dating advice that I've implemented going forward dating, because it was just so apparent. Don't be afraid to take a chance, to ask for what you want, and knowing that the result might be the girl's going to say, I don't want anything to do with you anymore, or this is not what I'm looking for. The thing that I like about this is that it forces you to be honest. And I think, to me, when it comes to dating, especially if you want to date casually, you know, because I've been dating casually for a while, I love being honest. I love knowing that I believe I have enough game and confidence and love for myself that I can feel comfortable with telling a girl, hey, this is what I'm about. I don't want a relationship. I just want to hook up. Or I don't want a relationship. I want to be a friends with benefits situation, if you're down for that. And a lot of these relationships that I had with girls that panned out this way were great, man. Because, yeah, you would have some girls be like, no, get the fuck out of my life. That is gross. Or that's not what I'm about. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut this off. I took the loss, right? In that situation, I took the loss. But I was ballsy enough to be like, yo, this is what I want. I think a lot of guys, and you know this, and I think I've done this in the past when I was young and learning how to get sex from girls. I didn't have that much game. And I think a lot of guys do this where they kind of do what politicians do, where they lick their fingers and they put their finger up to find out which way the wind is blowing. And they go, okay, we're going to set our sails that way. When it comes to sex, I think a lot of guys do that. A lot of guys be like, this girl wants babies. I don't want babies. But if I tell her that I want babies, maybe she'll let me have sex with her. So, you know, that is a thing. That's wrong. It's fucking wrong. You know, I was doing that in my 20s when I was young, immature, couldn't really wrap my mind around, you know, that is something wrong because you're wasting somebody's time, right? It's not kosher. It's not cool. But as I got older, I started adopting that take the L strategy that Patrice O'Neill does. And what it does is it changes you. It makes you so confident. You know, how many times have you been in the comfort of a beautiful woman and, you know, you were inexperienced at dating and you almost felt like this was such a precious moment that you had to act a certain way so that you wouldn't scare her away or whatever. And that's where you lose. You know, having outcome independence is another thing that I've heard about that I thought was a very good type of advice. Outcome independence, meaning you are separated from what the outcome is, meaning your emotions are not attached to what expectations you have. So basically, remove all expectations, because if you have the expectation to fuck, when you approach a girl, that energy is going to read off that way. And you're going to have a hard time connecting with her because she's going to feel like, doesn't seem genuine, right? But if you can remove that from the outcome of engaging with a person, if you can just engage with her as a person, talk to them like you would a fat dude. You know, just like walk up there and be like, yo, what's popping? My name is Mike. This place smells like piss, right? Some places smell like piss. They got to clean up. But no, like, you know, just strike up a conversation as opposed to having this mindset of like, oh, I have to have sex with this girl. This has to happen. You know? And I think that is the key. And I think that's why I have been very successful, man. I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, I'm such an amazing player and I get all these girls. But man, I'm just going to be absolutely honest. Recently, I have been killing it compared to some other times in my dating life where I would have these extensive droughts, you know, and they happen. They happen, man. Sometimes the universe just has it out for you is what it feels like. Or it's like every girl you hit on just wasn't interested in you, or the girl that was interested in you, you're not interested in them. And but recently it has been, I've been seeing an uptick in the amount of women I'm attracting. And I think that is part and parcel. One, I'm more confident now. I'm exercising better, you know, tactics. I'm comfortable with talking to women. I have outcome independence. If I talk to a girl, I'm just like, I'm going to enjoy this moment right now and just, you know, hang on every word she's saying and get to know this person and see where it goes from there, right? If it doesn't go anywhere, big deal. At least you had a good conversation. You met someone cool, hopefully, or not. And I think the other part is the pandemic. I really think the quarantine, I think more women now, I think more people in general are, we're in survival mode, right? Like, have you heard that phenomenon that like during like natural disasters or war, the amount of sex goes up, you know, like people actually get hornier or they get more of a need to want to mate or procreate or try to find a mate. Right. And I think part of that, that's what's happening too. Also. And I think that my uptick of getting lucky has gone up part and parcel because of that too. So like this girl that I met this weekend, man, it was very interesting, bro. This girl here was straight up fucking smoking. I mean, she was beautiful, bro. She was banging it. She knew it. I have a real good friend of mine, Christina. I met her in San Francisco back in the day when I was doing a show. Her roommate hit on me at the show, and then we started like hooking up, and then I got to know Christina also, and she's fun. Christina's a real good friend. I love that girl to death. She's from Arizona originally, so now she's in Arizona. So the Big Pine Comedy Festival was there, and I was like, hey, we gotta try to hang out. And she found out that the last night that I was there, she was able to make it to a show, and she was gonna bring some friends. And I told her, because man, I have, the whole time I was at the festival, listen, not only did I like not get laid for a week, I didn't have time to fucking jerk off, bro. So like that shit was just built up, you know? And so I told Christina in text, I'm like, are your friends single? You know? And she's like, one of them is single. And I'm just like, okay, well, hope she's hot. She shows up with this banging ass chick, man. That's what a good friend Christina is, man. I'm just like, damn. And listen, that's not to say that she was like, I'm going to bring the hottest. No, she just happened to bring a friend, and this girl was cute and single. So when they got there, you know, I bought them a couple of drinks from the bar, you know, because I haven't seen Christina in a real long time. She's a good friend. After the show was over, I bombed. I bombed at the show too, by the way. I was so tired, man. I was so tired from the festival. It was the last show of the festival, and I haven't really been sleeping much. But you see how tired my voice was? Like, when I did the first joke into the microphone, and I heard how, like, tired my voice was, I was like, oh, God, I'm going to bomb this set. And, no, I mean, I got laughs and stuff, but it's not one of those fucking fire sets. Anyways, then after that, we ended up hanging out. And I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but while we were hanging out, we went to this bar and we sat down at a quiet place because I kind of wanted to catch up. You know, we were all talking about our frustrations with dating and this, that, and the other thing. And I started cranking up the flirting. and then I somehow, either I steered the conversation or somebody brought it up. It was probably I steered it. To the talk of threesome. So now I'm at a table with these two very attractive girls. One of them being my friend, quote unquote. And I went the Patrice O'Neal route. I just said right there in a very smooth way in the conversation, I was like, we should all have a threesome. And they both blushed. And the best thing is the friend that Christina brought goes, well, I'm going to need to be really hammered for that. So she didn't say no. So I was like, shots, please. Fucking let's get this fucking party started. But that didn't happen because, you know, they're like friends. Like even the other girl said, she was like, I can't, because I'd be down, but like not with this girl that I've known for a while, but I still tried. See, the thing is, man, is I still fucking tried. I literally take that outcome independence thing seriously, and I take Patrice O'Neal's don't be afraid to take the L seriously also, because it forces you to be brazen, you know, and a lot of women love that. Guys, I don't know if you forgot all of a sudden because we've been digitized and that you can like meet a girl just by swiping on the screen. So then it loses your skill of being vulnerable like we used to have to do in the 80s and 90s. When you saw a girl across the way, you were like, yo, I got to talk to her because I'm probably never going to see her again. And I don't have no magical fucking phone window thing to swipe and maybe find her on that. So I got to walk up to her. I got to keep it together and nervously get to know this girl. And hopefully she likes me enough to give me her number. Like that type of that takes balls. Right, guys? Remember when we used to do that? We used to have balls? Remember the balls we used to have? Remember that? Remember when you just like, hey, man, I'm going to have to. And now it's like, it's cold. Now, like, our fangs are receding. And I really think that, like, pairing those two pieces of advice, outcome independence, meaning not meeting a girl and expecting an outcome, right? Meaning, sure, you're like horny as fuck, fine, that's how men are, right? You haven't fucked in a week, great. Here's this beautiful girl. You might be able to, ha ha ha, right? But let go of that. That needs to go. You need to be okay with meeting a new person just for the sake of meeting a new person. That's when it works. Because then now you got balls, right? Because now you're going in. You don't care in the end what's going to happen at the other end of this engagement with a person. You should care to make that engagement pleasant. You know, you shouldn't like not care to a point where you approach a girl and then all of a sudden you don't care about her feelings and you say something terrible without assessing how she's taking it. You know what I mean? So you want to make the engagement pleasant. You should care about that. But you really shouldn't care about, I have to get this girl in bed, or I have to get this girl to like me, or I have to be validated that this girl that I think is beautiful is attracted to me. Because it's probably not going to happen. And that's okay. It's okay. And I put that shit into action on this night. So the threesome attempt failed, right? Which is fine. But you have no idea like how comfortable those girls were with me. Because, you know, before that, we were talking about my views on sex. And, you know, especially with women in sex. And you guys heard my viewpoints on here about how I don't like the fact that like women are not able to freely enjoy sex as men are, right? That women have to navigate a minefield of shame, right? They have to be worried about, if I have sex with him tonight, is he going to think of me as a potential girlfriend in the future? Is he going to be the type of guy that's going to shame me for liking BDSM or having anal beads or whatever the fuck the case may be? I've dated or hooked up even with a lot of women that have told me straight the fuck up. And I've heard the same thing. You make me feel comfortable to be sexual. You make me feel comfortable to engage and have fun sexually. And that's because I think when girls meet me, they realize, oh, this guy genuinely is not going to shame me. He's has no outcome. He doesn't want me to be a specific thing. He's just going to be like, hey, you know, what is up with you? Let's see if there's anything here. And I think that's there's something to learn from that, because I wasn't always like that. Before, I used to have those little hangups, you know? Oh, is this girl a whore? Is she this? Is she that? That's gone now. And the more I release myself from that type of mindset, the better chances I have. So I've already engaged with these girls. We were talking about sex, and I, you know, she already knew that, hey, one, he's friends with Christina. Christina loves him. He loves Christina. They're bosom buddies. He's already validated on that side. And then, you know, we were having a great conversation, and we were talking about sex freely and dating. And I mean, this girl was telling me straight up at the table. She was like, how she went on a date with this guy. She showed me a picture of him on her Hinge account, and he was very good looking. They've already went on two dates. I was like, he hasn't even tried having sex with you yet? And she was like, no. And now she's wondering if maybe he's got like a real small dick, and like he's like too worried about her finding that out, whatever the case may be. But then she also talked about this other guy who was playing games to try to get in her pants, and she didn't like it. And she literally told me, she goes, sometimes I wish a guy like that would just be up front and tell me what he wanted. You know, she said, if he would have just said, hey, I'm just looking for sex. She goes, he has no idea that I would have been like, that sounds great. Let's do that. So I'm sitting next to this girl who's like a 10, man. I don't give her some, but she's fucking fine, bro. And, you know, she's spewing this stuff out. And right away to me, I'm like, okay, this girl's very cool. You know, she's very relaxed in terms of her thoughts on sex, and she hasn't had it in a while. She wouldn't mind getting some good sex. So it's like, it's my battle to lose at this point. Okay. So then the girls want to go to a crazy club. And I wasn't really in the mood for that because I was tired as fuck. But I'm like, you know what? No, let's fucking do this shit. So we go to this obnoxious club, bro. A club that I typically wouldn't normally go to, especially nowadays. You know, I like chill places. Fucking crazy ass dance bar, lights. There's just all kinds of people in there packed like sardines, just trying to get COVID. The bartenders were so fucking hot, man. I've never in my entire life, usually you go to like a place and the bartenders are hot, right? You're like, man, these bartenders are hot, and fuck, why are they bartenders? Because I'd rather them be on the dance floor. This one here was like, these girls were next level Playboy bunny, perfect. Like they weren't even 10s, they were 12s. All in skimpy ass, like lingerie, and whew. And the best thing about this girl is that she was also bisexual. So me and her already, I started like going, hey, what would you do with that ass right there? And she's like, oh, I would eat it like groceries and blah. So she was like really cool, man. But here's the thing. There's a thing in the dating world where they call a shit test. And typically girls will shit test you. They will say something off color and gauge your reaction. Do you fold under pressure? It's just a natural thing that they do. It's, you know, I think it's evolutionary, to be honest. I think it's a little test to see, is he a provider? Does he fold under pressure? Is he able to keep his cool? Is he easily frazzled? Does he seem like the type of guy that would be able to protect me? And I don't necessarily think like that women do that nefariously. I just think it's a natural thing, really, right? I think there's things that guys do that are natural that we don't even know that we're doing. Like, for example, when you were a kid, don't you remember ever like being at the playground and then all of a sudden you're with your guy friends and stuff, and then you're at the playground and then a bunch of girls are like at the playground now? And then what do you and all your friends do? You start jumping up and down. You start playing on the monkey bars, jumping off the swing to fly through the air. You're just showing the girls these feats of physical strength, right? And you're like only 8 years old. Do you even know why you were doing that? I didn't. It was just a trigger. I remember that, man. I'm sure you guys do too. Where you was a kid and all of a sudden your boy's like, oh my God, look at those girls over there. And all of a sudden he starts jumping. What the fuck are you doing? What are we doing? I think it's just, it's biological. I think it's evolutionary. And I think women will shit test you. Women will shit test you. Now, some women will shit test you on a level that's very nefarious, right? But like I'm saying, in even the most wholesome of women will still shit test you. Even if it's just playfully, you know, even if it's just like she finds it amusing, you know, she wants to see like that look on your face where you're like, huh? You know, that's just the thing. Some of it can be nefarious. So this girl, we're at the bar, she starts, you know, being nefarious. I can see that. She's hot. She can get any guy she wants. She's already intrigued with me. I can tell she likes me, like she was enjoying my assertiveness. I mean, I was flirting with her up front, building rapport. But she was one of those girls that she wanted. How do I say this? You know, these girls, they want you to display dominance. They want you to display dominance almost in a way of it that could be dangerous and get you into a fight. You know what I mean? You know that typical like type of comedy movie where a guy's dating the wrong girl and then the wrong girl gets some guy to fucking get really angry and then she's just like, oh yeah? Oh, what are you gonna do? My boyfriend is here. And next thing you know, her boyfriend gets her fucking his head smashed in, you know? That's the type of girl that I'm dealing with right now. And I found out as soon as we got into the club. As soon as we get into the club, you know, was crazy. I ran into a fan of mine. One of my first Arizona fans, Dylan Blue, was at the bar. He was like, whoa, what's going on? What the fuck you doing here? I was like, oh, shit. So we started talking. And then that girl and Christina decided, hey, now's a good time for us to hit on those frat boys. Right. So already I'm kind of like losing this girl in this moment. Right. So it's like, here I am at the bar, order a drink, flirt with her. Hey, you know, look at that girl's ass. And we're thought like, whatever, flirting on that level. Fan is like, holy shit, what's going on? Boom. That distraction, those two girls decide to go hit on those frat guys. Outcome independence, right, guys? You know what I did? I hung out with Dylan. That was it. Then after a while, I kind of wanted to see where they were. And then Christina caught my eye and she was just like, hey, I'm going to get those guys to buy us a drink. What do you want? I was like, yeah, let me get a tequila. So she makes that happen. And, you know, she's hitting on this one guy. And it was funny because as I was talking to Dylan, I could see in the cut, you know, Christina's friend was talking to this other guy, but then she was also checking in on me. It's like looking over her shoulder. I made eye contact with her. And then she like gave me a smirk and went back talking to that guy. So she's playing games, right? She's shit testing me. She's shit testing me in the, like, she's like the superhero of shit tests, you know, like the final boss, like one of the final bosses of the shit test game. You know, she's trying to get me to be like, oh, what are you doing? What are you talking to these guys for? Blah. I'm not doing that. There's other girls to talk to. And I started doing that. So I just started flirting with other girls. And there's some great girls there. Hung out, talked to a few chicks, danced with a couple girls. Ordered myself a drink. She showed up again. Starts dancing with me a little bit. All right, cool, let's dance. Started dancing with her. She started being like coy, pushing away. And once she pushed away a little bit, I still went up to her fine. Then she like pushed away even more. Then I was like, I'm not playing this fucking game, dude. I'm going back to the bar. Go back to the bar. She goes to the bar, meets some guy. The guy starts massaging her neck. Like literally, like laying it on thick. And I couldn't care less, to be honest, at that point. I was just like, what? You know, whatever. Then she cozies up to me again, leaves that guy. So she's basically like creating this domino effect with her hotness. Right? She comes in with a guy like me. She flirts with that guy over there to see if I get jealous. I don't get jealous. So then she comes back to me. Now that guy's jealous. Then she goes back on the dance floor. I start dancing. She starts playing games. I'm not playing those games. I'm getting a drink. She goes back to the bar. Some guy starts massaging her neck and saying sweet things in her fucking ear. So then she gets her fucking free massage from this guy, comes back to me. Now that guy's jealous, right? So it's like, she's just like creating this domino effect. Which I found very amusing. And Christina is like hitting it off with this other guy. And I'm really happy for her. Then finally she came back up to me again. And I just started being a little more aggressive. You know, because to me it's like, if you're going to be coming back to me now, I got to like be like, yo, what's popping? Like, we're going to get the fuck out of here or what? Because I'm not here for your amusement. And I'm tired. So I'm probably going to go to sleep pretty soon. So she starts dancing next to me a little bit after she danced with this other tall, good-looking dude, which, again, outcome independence, didn't care. Came back to me. This time when I was dancing with her, I was a little bit more physical, right? A little more aggressive, having a little more fun. She liked it. You know, you could tell she liked it. But I'm still playing a little coy, right? I'm not giving her everything. I'm like, oh, my God, you're the fucking best. Because that's... It's funny because like with this girl, you have to play this game. Then we get to back to the bar. Get back to the bar. And I order a drink for her and I order a drink for me. And we start dancing a little bit by the bar. And this little fucking twerp motherfucker who's friends with the last guy she was dancing with comes over, grabs her by the arm. I'm in front of her. Grabs her by the arm and starts dragging her away from me. And I fucking parried his arm away. I'm like, excuse me. And he looks at me and then looks at her and goes, my friend that you were dancing with wants to see you again. And then I looked at him and I'm like, excuse me, bro. You see that I'm with her, right? And then he goes, look at this fucking little ballsy motherfucker. Goes to her. Do you really want to be dancing with him? And I looked at her. I'm like, yeah. Who do you want to dance with? Do you want to dance with me? And she looked at me and she nodded a little bit. And I grabbed her closer to me. And I looked at him and I was like, get the fuck away from me. And then he's like, yeah, but, and I literally pushed him away. I'm like, bro, get the fuck out of here. Like, I got angry, you know, because now this guy's really disrespecting me. And I'm usually the type of person, I just keep my fucking cool. But that's a little too much, right? That pretty much sealed the deal. You know, that's what she wanted to see. And she concocted that whole thing. I mean, she didn't make that guy come. But the little domino effect that she like did around the place. And to me, it was like, I really needed the bust. I'm not going to lie, man. I haven't busted a nut in like 7 days. It was too much. I was already primal and aggressive. Not aggressive. I was keeping my cool. But I mean, in terms of like wanting to hook up. And, you know, I kept my cool throughout the whole damn thing. Had outcome independence. Didn't care if it ended with sex or not. And long story short, yeah, we went home. We had fun. It was great. It was great. And you're right, Tariq. Tariq says, with drama like that, I would prefer to jerk off and be happy. Buddy, there is definitely some truth to that, Tariq. You nailed it. That's how I used to think. To me, jerking off was also a way to be like, fuck these feelings. I got shit to do, right? But I don't know, bro. I find that as I get older, it feels like I'm losing, right? Because like, to me, it's like, because I got so much going on and I'm fucking a geezer now, right? If I rub one out, I'm not going to have that energy of really wanting to hunt for a girl. Maybe for a day or two or more, depending on how busy I am. But if I forego that, holy shit. And here's another thing. I got to stop jerking off, period, bro. Because that shit ain't good, man. You know, especially at one point I was like, I broke up with a girl and I was like using porn a lot to get off. Because I didn't want to deal with like trying to find a girl. I just got out of a relationship. So I was like, you know, just let me just do it on the, you know, off the computer and stuff. And that ruined sex for me, bro. I don't know if you guys ever had that. Like, you'll jerk off too much and then your dick is now used to your hand. And then like you like get some other girl to do it and your dick's like, yeah, she doesn't do it as good as you, bro. And we're watching all this porn with all these super hot women getting flooded with dopamine, like getting way more dopamine than our brain can take, which is why it like fucks people's hard-ons. Like, you know, some people who watch too much porn and jerk off to porn too much will suffer this thing called flaming out. I don't know if you guys heard this. I started suffering that during this period. Flaming out meaning you will have sex with a girl and then in the middle of you having sex, your dick will just give up. Just like get soft. And a lot of that is sometimes when guys are masturbating to porn, they do this thing called edging where, and I was doing that too, where you'd watch 1 5-minute clip, you'd get yourself up to orgasm just before you bust a nut, you find another clip. And then you do that again. And then you do that again until you can't take more. And then you finally bust. And that's not healthy. Because one, you're again flooding your brain with too much dopamine, which feels really good, but it's not natural, right? And then what happens is that when you engage guys that are addicted to porn, they'll engage in sex with a real woman. At first, sometimes they'll get it up and everything will be fine and they'll be engaging in the sex. But then that gets to a point where the brain and the dick is used to having a specific amount of dopamine, which is already too much, because now you're like five videos in and you've did this roller coaster of almost coming, not coming, flooding your system, hijacking it. And then they flame out. And that was happening to me. That was fucking scary. So yeah, I see what you're saying, Tariq. Like how he said, with drama like that, I would prefer to jerk off and be happy. I understand, bro. But I'm at a point in my life where I'd rather save that energy for the real thing, you know? Because to me, the hunt was also good. Because look, if I would have jerked off during that time that I was at the festival, I don't think I would have had that pent up testosterone to where it heightened my senses and forced me to go through whatever trials and tribulations I needed to do to get that pussy, man. So on one side, I agree with you. Yet on the other side, where I'm at in my life, I think that I'm the type of person that if I was to jerk off, then I would really lose the hunt. And the hunt's important. I'm sorry. I think it is. I think actually being out there engaging with women and dating, forcing yourself to not waste it jerking off and use that energy to actually meet women. I think one of the best things that I've heard from a Muslim was, it was the guy who joined the Marines with me. I remember we were talking and I was like, does God look down at masturbation? And the way he said it was, he goes, no, God doesn't look down on masturbation. God only looks down on masturbation if you are married, if you are with someone, because the idea is that that's the energy that you should be using on them, right? Because as you get older, man, I'll bust one nut Tuesday, man. I'm good till next Tuesday, some weeks. That's not really the case. Like sometimes, I'm wired. I need it every day, but it all depends on all kinds of factors. So I'm kind of glad I didn't. And I didn't rub one out. I'm glad that I had that pent up energy. I'm glad that I went through the hunt, because that was a fun hunt, man. You know, I took a lot of chances. I tried to get two girls to have a threesome with me. Did it in a way that was still charismatic. I read the room right. I knew that I was doing it to two girls that weren't going to be like, oh my God, how could you? Right? And then the outcome independence. Now, that's not to say that I'm always like this. Dude, I got failures, bro. Maybe next time we talk, I'll talk about a failure date that I have, man. Whew, I had a whole, man. So I don't want you guys thinking that I'm like, ooh, I'm such a good. No, I'm just saying this. Everything's a learning experience. And I think I learned a lot this weekend, you know, and I had fun, man. She was fun and great. And I hope you guys experience more of that shit. And Tariq says, I just mean the drama with women like that is not worth the stress. And I'm married, so I've been done with that dating drama for a while. Yeah, man. Stay married, bro. How do you married guys do it though? I'm not saying that in like a disgusting way. I mean, like, how do you do it? How do you just get over having sex with this person? Like, as you get older, how as I'm getting older, like I can almost see myself, like if I was with one woman, I probably won't have sex with maybe ever, man. I don't know. I'm not sure. Talk to me, Tariq. Tell me, how do you make that shit work? You know, do you guys spice it up a little bit? I know you guys are Muslims. Do you guys like maybe dress up like Zionists, or like one is like an Israeli soldier trying to take the pussy, the Palestinian pussy? I can almost see like being married to someone and I'll just be like, yo, you got to wear a wig now, man, or something. You got to look like a different person. You know, like when I first started dating when I was younger, I was built for monogamy. I was raised Yemeni. not very conservative, but fairly conservative. And, you know, I was always the type of guy that was like, you know, marriage. You know, I was going to try to find a girl. I was a serial monogamist. I would go from one relationship to another. But at the same time, once the longest relationship I had blew up in my face, I decided I needed to try to stay single. I needed to live the single life. I needed to see if I could date casually, which was very hard for me. Hard for me to transition into, on top of the fact, hard for me because I didn't have the skill set for it. I just didn't have the skill set to hit on women. It was a big failure for a very long time. And now I'm so conditioned being single, I'm afraid I can't go back to being monogamous. And that kind of scares me, you know? So that's why, like, when I see guys that are married and they're making that shit work, that just, you know, it's inspiring, right? Then I hear other people who are like very negative about marriage, and they'll be like, oh, those people that are married and they look like they're having such a good time, it's all fake. How many relationships have I seen that just ended up in divorce? But the whole time you saw the couple, they were like doing great. That could be it too. But I don't know, man. I have friends of mine that seem to be in very, very good loving relationships. And, you know, I'm down for that too. I thought I was going to have it with the last girl. That didn't end up happening. But I'm also, I'm like, all right with being single. But at the same time, man, how long is this ride going to last? You know, it's going to become a point where no one's going to want to fuck me. There's probably going to come a point where I'm just not going to be able to fuck, right? Like, I mean, there probably gets to a point where your dick's like, why am I here? Tarek says, laugh my ass off. Actually, I'm not really practicing, but questioning a lot. My wife is white agnostic. If I were practicing, I don't think it would work well. Yeah, for real though. You know what you should do, man? You should like spice things up by like slowly acting like you're becoming a religious zealot. Yeah, bro. Or play the opposite, you know what I'm saying? Be like, there is a God. And she's like, no. What am I doing? This is fucking weird. Anyways, guys, I'm hoping the next solo podcast will be more organized. I hope you enjoyed the story. I hope you learned something from it. I know I learned a lot from this weekend, especially with meeting that girl and going through her gauntlet of validation, like how I had to validate myself. It was almost like I was like, it's almost like in Gladiator, right? Like I had to like fight all these guys mentally, you know, keep my cool and shit like that. It was crazy. It was a lot of game playing. Here's the thing. I would not date a girl like that, bro. Long term, no way. You know, some guys like that shit long term. I can't. So I know what you mean, Tarek. You know? Oh, what does Balti say? Balti says, it's real tough for me and Yvonne. We talk as much as we can every day. We spend all our free time together on Viber, just like if I was there with her. Oh, yeah, that's right. She lives in another country, dude. I keep forgetting about that. Yeah. What does Tarek say? Communication is key. Dude, when she has a bruise, I tell her to hide before they think I'm beating her. I know what you mean, dude. That's like the worst nightmare of any guy is being accused of hitting his woman and he's not. But you want to hit her. But you never did. Everyone's like, you're hitting her. Man, fuck. I should have hit her. No, that's not what I mean. I did about the last girlfriend that I had, like the last real, real girlfriend, like long relationship. We were in for like 9 years, the majority of my 20s. She ended up getting into a car accident. And she was hot, man. She was really, really just, you know, and she got into a really bad car accident. Thank God she survived with just the big black fucking eye. And she got rear-ended so hard that her and her passenger, all their shoes came off and flew out of the car. That's how hard everything flew out of the car. Like the car became sort of like a fucking grenade where it just like blew everything that was in it out. So her like ID was gone. So after she got out of the hospital, she had to get a new driver's license. So she goes to fucking Secretary of State in Michigan and gets a new driver's license. And her driver's license is her with the biggest, blackest fucking eye. And she's this petite, cute girl. And we like to go dancing to the clubs. You don't know how many times we would get to the club and I would just be like, here we go. I keep telling her, change that fucking shit, man. You know, nobody really bowed up on me, but you could see the look on the doorman's faces, man, because they would look at her ID and then they would go and look at me. And I'm just like, I didn't hit her. I would have to tell people, like, I didn't hit her. I was so straight the fuck up. And they all looked at me like they didn't believe me. So I get it, Tariq. I get it. Oh, yeah, that's right. She's in Germany. That's right, Bolte. Damn, it was a hit. What was a hit? What are you talking about, Jason? I got to get another podcast going on next week. I'm not sure who I'm going to get on, but I'll let you guys know soon. What did you guys think of Trash Bars? Did you guys watch that thing that I did with the Bricks and then we would do that rap song where we would lay the beat down and then play the beat back and then the other person had the rap on it? I thought that was kind of fun. I don't know what you guys thought about it. Comment below, man. Let me know because I really, really want to know how, you know, I want to know how, if that's a fun segment that we should probably do because, you know, I think it would be, you know. Yeah, and then I'm hoping to get a more, if I have the time, I really want to delve into politics again and see what's going on in the world. Apparently, Dave Chappelle's new special came out. I've been so busy, I haven't even had a chance to watch it. I watched a little bit just before this thing started, and then he started talking about space Jews, and that space Jews thing was hilarious, man, and I'm so glad that you got someone like Dave Chappelle who doesn't need anybody and he can just say what he wants, man, because we need to go back to saying what we want again. We need to go back to being okay that there are going to be people out there that don't think like you. Then they're going to say things that you're not going to jive with. And we got to be okay with that. You know, I can't believe, like, you know, my friend Mike Pattaya just got banned off Facebook because he made a post something to the effect of, you know, you can't say anything anymore, the powers that be, you know, whatever it was. He was kind of clever what he wrote. And basically it was like a fake quote about, you know, cancel culture and how we're losing our democracy or whatever. And then he put signed Adolf Hitler. So it was a joke. He's a comedian, right? So the thing is, he put this thing about, oh, we shouldn't allow this sign Adolf Hitler. Banned off Facebook forever. No context. The machine doesn't even understand context. That's it. He's gone. And now he's a comic and he can't even get a lot of his bookings because some bookers, they hit you up through Facebook. So that's fucking scary, man. Like we're at a point in the world where now, you know, listen, Facebook can do whatever they want. It's a private company. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. What I'm saying is that Facebook is doing what they think people want done. And, or they just now all think that if they're going to be the center for speech, that they get to fucking tell people what they can and can't say. And it's fucking scary. It's fucking scary. So Dave Chappelle, very important. I don't know if the special is that great. I haven't really been enjoying a lot of his newest stuff, to be honest. In terms of, listen, I enjoy his newest stuff in terms of the social commentary and the points that he's making. I don't necessarily am like laughing so hard at his jokes. You know, but they're still great. They're still funny and they're important, you know, because I can't stand that people that I respect, especially in the entertainment industry, now are starting to become the people that are like, you know, hey, I don't like people saying this. I don't like people saying that. It's like, dude, you're an artist. You're a writer. You know, like freedom of speech gives us everything that we have to say what we want. And I just don't like the fact that we're like censoring people, especially conservatives. Like, I know some conservative comics that are like, they can't even tell anyone they're conservative because then, you know, all these liberals that run shows or whatever won't put them on the show. But then, you know, you have other people who, you know, at the comedy festival, like one of the bookers at the comedy festival was like, hey, I'm liberal. I lean left. He goes, but I book anyone. He goes, you know, I gauge by the audience. You know, he goes, if a conservative comic goes up there and I don't jive with their political view of the world, but they're a good comic and they're making their individual voice be heard in a way that can get the room to laugh, even if I don't laugh, I know that that's a comic that I can at least still hire and bring here. And that's how it needs to be, man. The thing that I fucking love about comedy is it reminds me of being in the military. In the military, we were all from different walks of life. It wasn't until you got to boot camp that you started seeing people from all different walks of life. Like when I grew up in Dearborn, Michigan, I was surrounded by like just white people and Arabs and black people, but mostly Arabs, right? So I was kind of like in this bubble. And then when I joined the Marine Corps, all of a sudden the guy in the bunk next to me was KKK. And the guy across from me is a black guy from Alabama. And then he had a Jewish guy. And it's just like, you know, it really brought different people together under one mission, right? Whatever that mission is, no matter what background we came from, no matter what political view we had, when the mission was to be executed, we set our differences aside and we made shit happen. I love that. And that's one of the things that I love about comedy is comedy is exactly that. You're supposed to be able to go on a comedy show and you're supposed to see a disabled person, a Jewish person, a person who's Arab, is Muslim, someone who's Muslim and eats bacon now. And it's just a conservative, a liberal, somebody who doesn't believe in God, somebody who's a rabbi. Those are my favorite fucking shows. Those are my favorite shows. That's how it's supposed to fucking be. But man, it's getting scary. We're getting to a point right now where, you know, we're not allowed to... you know, espouse our real thoughts. It's just so fucked up. I know friends of mine that I have to remind them that they lash out so much at the truth that they wonder why people lie to them all the time. You want the truth, but you don't like hearing it. What the fuck is that shit? Anyways, you see how I just went from sex to now I'm pissed off about politics again? That's what I got to do on the next podcast. Probably got to bring it back. Bring it back. I don't like talking about politics too much, though. But, yeah. I'm going to watch Dave Chappelle's special. You should, too. I'd like to know what you guys think in the end. You know? Was it offensive? Were there some things that were just not good? Or was it great? And maybe we'll talk about that next time. You know? We'll talk about... I don't know, maybe we can just spin ideas and talk about like what other ways we can do to free up people's expectations of what the truth is. Because right now, man, I don't think we've ever been so divided in this country and I don't like it. And I don't like when I meet smart people who are left and say they don't like anyone who's like in the middle or vice versa. People are on the conservative. They're so right that they don't understand anybody who can be a moderate, you know? Anyways, what did you say? Oh, get Tariq Salamasi back on? Yeah, Tariq Salamasi is great. I'll definitely try to get him back on for sure. I love Tariq. You know what I should do? I should get Tariq on with someone that is so off and different. That's one thing I like to do, see if I can pair two people together that, you know, can respectfully disagree. That would be the best. Yo, from the D, same. Iraqi, what's up, Oni? What's cracking? Cousin, brother, Jason says, is he really giving us homework on Friday? No, I'm not saying that, bro. But I do want to watch it. I haven't had a chance. All I know is I'm seeing all these articles that are coming up. I mean, people are just like, fuck Dave Chappelle, cancel him. Yeah. All right, guys, I got to get going. I got to get this day going. You guys are awesome. Love you. Thanks for tuning in. I hope if you're single, you're out there getting pussy or dick whatever you want. You know, no judgment. Just get that. Sex is fun. Do it the right way. Do it truthfully. Tell women or whoever you're trying to have sex with and trying to hook up with, be honest with them. Let them know what's up. And be okay with taking the loss. Because trust me, you know, the more chances you take, especially as men, sometimes we think that we can't take those chances. If you do it politely, if you do it, you know, respectfully, and you read the room right, and you put your foot down to say what you want, you'd be surprised what you get, man. So have fun, guys. Love you. Stay safe. Oh, one of my Marine buddies is in the hospital right now fighting COVID, and it's not looking good. It seems like he's coming out of it, but it's pretty bad. And on that note, I just want to say, guys, take care of yourselves. Please be healthy. Sleep good because, you know, life is good and let's keep living it. All right, guys, till next time, Wednesday, 2 p.m. And maybe I might have an extra podcast showing up next week, depending on my workload. I'll see you guys. Deuces.
Public Yemeni number one.